10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The no flags!
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland, and joining me as always is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, I'll say this. Week zero as a college football fan is certainly like a nice thing, right? So it's like a metaphorical appetizer, right? And it's fine. I have no problem with week zero. I enjoyed it. Safe to say, though, it's not quite week one, and this week we get week one, and I was just telling you, I'm very excited for this week one, Mike.
Thursday through Monday, that's what I like about it. You know, we're traditionalists here, Tim, and in fact, some of our dozens of listeners who heard the show last week commented on kind of my negative bent and perhaps a little pessimism in my voice. Well, I vow now that instead of from here on out on the podcast, we're going to not lament what has been lost in college football, but we're going to revel in what we have. So we're traditionalists, and we generally like football on Saturdays. But for this first week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it's spectacular.
I will say Saturday, as a standalone Saturday, it's not the best Saturday, but I think collectively from Friday to Monday, there's a lot going on. So I think we'll be well entertained this weekend, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got Florida, Utah, kicking it off on Thursday night, leading all the way through an interesting Clemson Duke game from Durham there on Monday night, both of which I'll be watching on planes, but we'll get to that later.
So what did you do last weekend for week zero, Mike?
I think I made the most of week zero, Timmy. I woke up very early on Saturday and threw a pork butt on the smoker, left that sucker there for about 11 hours at just over 200 degrees, went and played golf. I birdied the first hole and then proceeded to not break 90, which is, you think it's kind of hard to do, but it was a blast. Came home, watched most of the second half of the Notre Dame Navy game, and then had a few people over, including noted listener Brian Schlater and his wife Marissa. And we watched the Orioles dominate as they do these days. We watched the Vandy Hawaii game. And we watched a very exciting Ohio-San Diego State game, too. So, you know, for week zero, I think we made the most of it.
We've said before, again, there's not a more forgiving piece of meat in the planet than a pork butt, right?
No, it takes no effort, and you get such credit for your, you know, quote, brilliance in smoking it, and you really do nothing. I mean, all I do is throw some spices on it the night before, throw it on the thing, never touch it. And slice it up, and you get all kinds of credits. It's one of my favorite things to smoke.
Do you have an actual like electric smoker that could like temp controlled, or do you do a charcoal? What do you do?
It's an electric smoker, but it's lower. It's bottom of the line, so it's hard to manipulate the temperature.
Yeah.
So you plug it in, and water steams the chips essentially. And so it's very hard to manipulate the temperature. Mostly it's just kind of, it hovers between 200 and 225, and you just have to know how long to leave things on and take them off.
Do you have one of those massive like meat injectors? Do you inject any fluid? I do a little bit of vinegar and applesauce sometimes, or like cider, hard cider.
Apple cider, yeah, that's nice. No, I haven't been injecting my meats. I just tend to rub them and to, you know, I like to get in under the crevices of your giant hunk of meat too. Garlic salt and some cayenne pepper for a little spice. And that's pretty much it.
The fact that you can literally put this thing on a grill and go golfing and come back later, it's like fine.
I know. Absolutely. It's glorious. And as I said, really the amount of credit you get as compared to the amount of effort you put in, I love that. I love that equation.
I remember I did like a series of like pork shoulder, pork butts turned out so great. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do brisket, right?
Yeah, that's a different department.
Much more challenging piece of meat, Mike. And it wasn't terrible, but it was not great.
Well, that's why in barbecue, you know, that's how you pretty much judge a barbecue joint is by the quality of its brisket, because that's the that's where there's a lot of art in manipulating the temperature and the smoke level on the brisket.
100%. Anyway, let's get into the week in review, Mike. Are you ready? How about starting with the biggest game? The most visible game of the weekend, number 13, Notre Dame 42, Navy 3. I happen to think Notre Dame should play a game every single year in Dublin. I was getting some of the reports from people, whether on Twitter or people I knew, who knew people who are Notre Dame fans, and like what was the scene in Dublin leading up to that game. I just love the whole thing. I love the Irish people must be so just like honored and confused as to why this college in Indiana is named the Fighting Irish.
I like that term, honored and confused. Yeah, this is a great little tradition. First of all, how cool does the stadium look?
Beautiful stadium, right?
It looks like a great stadium. And I would also, I'd be curious to know, you know, how many actual Irish people go, or how many is it just, you know, there probably was a lot of military people from Europe who went over to see Navy, and probably a lot of Notre Dame fans from America who went. But it looks like it's a game over there in Ireland that I want to get to one year. You have, I think it's Georgia Tech and Florida State playing next year in Ireland in week zero. Maybe that's not the one that I need to get to, but one of these years we need to get over there. And what a performance by Sam Hartman and Notre Dame. Now look, Navy is massively rebuilding. Their offense looked horrible. They were just very, very, very overmatched. But Sam Hartman is the real deal quarterback for Notre Dame. He had a decorated career at Wake Forest. We got to see him a lot at Wake Forest, and he's a talented player. And I think he might be able to take Notre Dame up to that next level. Now, whether that next level is a playoff or not, we'll see. But it was a very impressive debut.
He's got quite a beard too, Mike.
Well, he's like 30 years old or something. I think he's actually 24, but yeah, he's a man.
Again, it's Navy, as to your point, like they are definitely rebuilding mode. I think this coach could do a good job there. I'm still a little bitter over Coach Ken not being there anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Again, a good first showing for Notre Dame. And for Sam Hartman, like, even though he's a very experienced guy, like your debut for Notre Dame on that kind of international stage to play like that, certainly an encouraging sign. And that back for Notre Dame, I'm blanking on his name. He's a good back, Mike.
Oh, yeah, they have two good backs. Their offense is pretty good. I mean, they just have to, you know, they have to avoid losing games that they shouldn't lose. I mean, that's, everybody needs to do that. But the, like last year, that loss to Marshall really crippled their entire season.
Number six, USC 56, San Jose 28. So, of course, this game was in the Pac-12 network, which means like basically no one got to see this game. Which is
correct.
Is there a more glaring example of Tim Scott and George Kliavkos' failures as commissioner that the number six team in the nation was playing on the first weekend of the year in prime time, and basically no one was able to see it? It's insane.
Well, you said Tim Scott, you meant Larry Scott. Tim Scott is, of course, an esteemed presidential candidate who has a great shot of winning the Republican nomination. Yeah, I know that's a good way of putting it. I mean, San Jose State got the cover in, and all I know about this is going to be spectacular. But the question with them this year is defense, and it wasn't a great start for them defensively to give up 28 points to San Jose State. I mean, we can't really say much more because no, as you said, absolutely no one watched the game.
No, it's very unfortunate. But by the way, George Kliavkos, as we speak, like it's like the annual meeting of all the conference commissioners. He's there at the annual conference of conference commissioners. Like, what is his role there?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, he's actually in the room. I mean, do you think they're talking to him? Do they just give him a chair? Like everyone's around the table and he's but like one row back from the table, like where the aides sit in like political meetings.
I'm sure George is a very wealthy man. I'm sure he's well taken care of or whatever. But don't you just think that must be the most like shameful thing to walk into? Like, I'm here representing a conference that no longer exists. And like, what's my role? So that's super awkward. Anyway, so the big storyline from this game was that USC, like Lincoln Riley is, as we all know, a tremendous offensive coach. He is, okay? The question is, can he build a real national championship caliber defense at USC? And they gave a bunch of yards to San Jose State, who's a good little program as well.
Yeah, they are. They're improving.
I just think it's like, okay, week one, they won by whatever, almost 30 points. I think fine. It's fine for USC, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. But they did not cover.
UMass 41, New Mexico State 30. This was an enjoyable game, too. How about the transformation at UMass? Like, all of a sudden, they were, I think, what they were like, them or UConn was the worst team.
And yeah.
This is a big win for, this sounds silly saying this, but like, if you're UMass and New Mexico State and you have the primetime slot on ESPN on week zero, that's a big marketing opportunity for you. Big win for UMass.
I mean, I watched a half hour more of UMass football on Saturday than I ever had in my life combined. And they look great. I mean, again, I have no idea what New Mexico, what kind of quality program New Mexico State is. I'm guessing quite low.
Yeah.
But UMass was balling, and they put up 28 points in the fourth quarter, and it was an entertaining game to watch at the end there. And so credit to UMass. What a great way for them to start their season.
How about San Diego State, the aforementioned game, San Diego State 20, Ohio University 13. This is an entertaining game, Mike.
Very entertaining, and it was very unfortunate because Curtis Rourke is Ohio University's decorated quarterback. He was coming back from an injury last year, and he went out in this game with an injury as well. You knew it was going to be kind of a low-scoring game because San Diego State always has a good defense. The highlight of this game for me, two highlights. One, our conversation among some of our friends who are watching this game on the antiquated uniforms at Ohio University. My God, they look like they haven't been changed in about 25, 30 years. Normally, we're against kind of alternate new flashy uniforms, Tim, but I think they're needed there in Athens, Ohio. And also a great stat put up by the, I think it was CBS people. Oh, no, it was FS1 this game was on. Just detailing Brady Hoke's futility against all Ohio schools at all his stops as a head coach. That was very fun to watch as well. But he got one here. Beating the Bobcats by 7.
The Ohio stat, both my brother and my dad will like love that stat because they're so like proud of Ohio football, Mike, as you know.
Yeah. And by the way, I was in Athens, Ohio in July, I believe it was. First time in a long time. That was the runner-up school I was going to go to. So I was there when I was looking at colleges in 1993, I think, and I hadn't returned till this summer. What a great little college town Athens, Ohio is. Oh, a lot of bars and restaurants, really cute campus. The rolling hills of the Hocking Hills area of Ohio there, much more elevation than you would expect in Ohio. And it was a great time. So it's one of my pet programs now.
Both Ohio and Miami of Ohio, beautiful campuses, really beautiful. Have you been to Miami of Ohio?
Never been to Miami of Ohio, but I'd like to, yeah. There's so many colleges in Ohio. It's crazy.
Vandy 35, Hawaii 28. I'll say, hey, good performance by both of these teams, like competitive game. Vanderbilt, of course, like so Vanderbilt playing this home opener in front of a construction site because they screwed up the construction schedule. I didn't see a play of this game, but I love a Vanderbilt Hawaii game, Mike.
Yeah, I watched a little of it. You're right. The stadium, I think it's seated, its capacity right now is like in the 20,000 range because of the construction. It looked horrible on TV. And of course, we've been there. Or have you been there?
I have not, no.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, I went there with Brian and my buddy Twig. Yeah, and it had a very, very big high school feel to it. We went and saw the Vandy and the Dogs one year. So the renovation was much needed. But I also... This is the state of college football. Like they're spending, I think I read they're spending $300 million to renovate their stadium. And that's actually a school where like they could give that $300 million to like, medical research and like solve life and, you know, life threatening diseases could be eradicated with that $300 million rather than giving it to the football stadium. But that's neither here nor there. Epic, valiant effort by Hawaii. I mean, they're coming over from Hawaii to Nashville. The game is delayed by like 2 or 3 hours due to lightning. And Hawaii comes all the way back, makes it very close at the end. It was an entertaining ball game. Hawaii got the first of what I'm sure will be many, many covers this season. So tip of the cap to Timmy Chang and Hawaii.
Speaking of the state of college football, Mike, quick aside, I wanted to mention earlier, like, you were lamenting, and we lamented last week, all that we're losing as far as rivalries and like the Pac-12 basically disappearing, which is still bizarre or whatever. I think for me, one of several canary in the coal mine things. If we get to the point where Notre Dame and Navy no longer play every year, then I think we have a problem.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting that. That's a very astute observation.
The backstory, everyone knows, you know, Notre Dame is committed to playing Navy every single year, because if not for Navy during the war, Notre Dame might not even be a program at this point. But like, at some point, I am convinced Notre Dame will land in a conference. It's inevitable. And I do think,
and you think that will spell out the end of their series with Navy?
If at some point Swarbrick won't be the AD at Notre Dame, and he's a Notre Dame guy who believes in all of their old traditions, whatever.
Well, he's already announced his retirement. This is his last year.
So look, they're going to hire the new TV guy, right?
They already did. Yeah, they hired a guy straight from NBC to be their new.
I didn't know that, but
AD.
So if you're that guy, like, hey, we can play Bama every year, or Georgia every year, or Navy. And if this guy has like no sentimentality, I'm just saying. So
he's former chairman of NBC Sports, and he's taking over next year. So college football, the times are our changing, but let's not lament him. Positive.
Okay. All right, let's do the top 25. Mike, hold on one second here. We'll do the useless coaches. Or we got the. All right, we'll do the coaches poll. It's useless. Here we go. Others receiving votes randomly. How about James Madison, Memphis, and Kansas with one vote each?
I would have liked to have seen UMass get a vote. Seems to me they deserve to be on the with one vote, others receiving votes for one week. I would have voted for UMass.
The list of others receiving votes is extensive. It's one of the largest I've ever seen. Let's see here, some fun ones. We got Air Force with 6, Toledo with 5, South Alabama with 8, Maryland with 10, Mike. Auburn with only 18 in others receiving votes. Interesting. Troy with 25, UCLA with 42, Pitt with 52, and top of the list, on brand, the first out of the top 25 with 169 points in the rankings is the Iowa Hawkeyes.
That they're going to be such an interesting team this year because of the contract of Brian Frant.
I know.
He has to score 25 points in there and get certain number of yards, I believe, per game. And isn't that, I mean, it's just talk about conflict of interest. Like your son is, you're the head coach. Your son has his contract. You know, what's to say, why won't they run up the score on teams when it's not good for the team overall, but it's good for Francis' contract? The whole situation is so bizarre.
And look, there's enough problems with gambling in Iowa right now. Like this.
Oh my God. Exactly. and let's just say it's not just Iowa. This is going to be a major, major storyline moving forward.
But why do you think it's only so far been Iowa and Iowa State? I mean, I have no idea. I'm not into gambling. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure either. One of the things is that they bet on their team's games too. So I mean, the list of people betting on other teams' games is probably infinite. But you can't bet on your own team's games.
Yeah, it's a mess. Anyway, all right, top 25. 25 A&M, 24 Texas Tech, 23 Tulane, 22 Ole Miss, 21 Wisconsin.
Interesting to see Wisconsin up there so high in the first year of the fickle era. They're going to be a really fun team to watch. They're going to be a couple games where they're going to be throwing the ball all over the field, and you're going to have to adjust your eyesight and think, is this really Wisconsin?
By the way, speaking of Wisconsin, I may have sent it to the Artex group. I may not have. ESPN did a 30 for 30 short on the origins of Jump Around. Did I send it to you, Mike?
I think I've seen it. I don't know if you sent it, but I've seen it.
It's awesome. Like one of the greatest traditions in college sports, I believe that's awesome to see, had the most humblest of origins. Like a bunch of dudes sitting at a bar being like, we need to create more excitement of the game. Here's a list of songs that could be cool. And like they're like House of Pain, and they play it on the jukebox. And those first three notes, they're like, oh yeah, this is perfect. And they played it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love it.
It's such a Wisconsin backstory too. They're in a bar pounding back beers, eating some cheese curds.
20 North Carolina, 19 Oklahoma, 18 our beloved Oregon State, 17 K-State, 16 TCU.
TCU is going to be a fun team to watch. You know, they lost so much talent, but they have a great coaching staff. But, you know, in the NFL, the teams that make it to the Super Bowl and lose, they have a horrible time getting back. It's not quite been the same in college football because usually it's blue blood against blue blood, but TCU kind of elbowed their way into the party. And with the way that they got humiliated last year, I think it's going to be really intriguing to see how they bounce back emotionally and how they handle this season. People are going to be gunning for them in a way that they haven't before.
15, Oregon, 14, Utah, 13, Notre Dame, 12, Texas, 11, UW, Mike.
Our beloved Utah Utes, Tim, opening on Thursday. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday. Hopefully it's posted by Thursday, but probably without their all-everything quarterback Cam Rising, it's still going to be an outstanding game, but that's going to be interesting to see how Utah plays without Rising.
We got 10 Tennessee, big year for them in my mind. 9 Clemson, also a big year for them. 8 Florida State, to me, very dubiously in the top 10. I'm not buying in yet. 7 Penn State, 6 USC, 5 LSU. And this is interesting. 4 Ohio State with 1 vote. 3 Bama with 4 votes. 2 Michigan with no votes in the coaches poll. And 1 Georgia with 61.
Yeah, well, there's no reason for anyone but Georgia to be ranked number one. And when you look at the Big Ten over the last 2 years, it's clear Michigan is the big dog now. Bama's got questions at quarterback, although, you know, are they really questions? If you're playing quarterback for Bama, you're pretty good. That's my expert assessment. And I agree with you on Florida State. I'll have a little bit more to say about them later in the show.
All right, quickly, some news items, Mike. So Jim Harbaugh, what, Michigan suspended him, or he self-suspended or whatever, 4 games. Their schedule's kind of a joke. 3 games?
3 games, yep. The NCAA, so they had an agreement with the NCAA to suspend him for 4. The NCAA was going to suspend him for 4 games. That was appealed to some other NCAA committee that said that shot it down and said not enough. So then they said, all right, well, we'll self-suspend for 3 games. He still gets to coach, you know, Sunday through Friday. And his kid is going to get some coaching experience for part of one of the games. Jay Harbaugh is going to be a head coach.
Long and proud history
of the games.
Long and proud history of nepotism in college football coaching.
Oh my God, football is so nepotistic.
Arizona State self-imposed a bowl ban for stuff that happened under what's his name? I'm blanking on his name, Mike.
Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards. So now they're going to punish kids who didn't even play for Herm Edwards. This is a classic college football, like, dumb thing. Like, what are you doing here? Like,
yep. And a lot of them now can transfer, apparently, and they will transfer. Arizona State has that that stud quarterback, too, who was going to go to Florida, but the NIL money fell through. So he's at Arizona State. And can you imagine you learn this like 5 days before your opener?
I know. It's like.
So I'll be in Arizona this weekend. Maybe I'll put my finger on the pulse of Aztec football to see what their rabid fans think about this.
Is there a pulse for Arizona?
Exactly. That's it was said kind of tongue in cheek. We shall see. We shall see.
How about Tom Allen at Indiana refusing to reveal his starting kicker?
Well, this was an interesting little story that I saw because, of course, there's been a lot of questions about Ohio State's starting quarterback that Ryan Day, he just revealed yesterday, I believe, which one of those guys is going to start. And I don't know if this is some kind of like gamesmanship move by Allen. He refused to reveal which kicker it was. So we have a 5-star from Texas named Nico Radicic. I assume that's how you say his name. Mm-hmm. But he's been hurt, so the other two kickers have been kicking, and so all 3 are in the mix. three different kickers. You know, unless one of them is like messy, I don't know how that would change their game plan. But I thought that was amusing. Get, you know, anything you can do to conjure a little more interest around your opener, if you're Indiana, you're 30-point underdogs at home to Ohio State. So I tip my cap to Tom Allen. We're back in the news. It's been like since 2020 since we were. So I like this move.
Mike, unfortunately, you triggered me by mentioning Lionel Messi. I have to mention, it cannot be understated what an impact Messi's arrival in the American MLS has made on the league. The commissioner of that league could not be more thrilled. They signed a $2 billion broadcast deal with Apple before his arrival, and Apple subscriptions have like surpassed expectations pre-Messi. I told you guys, Messi played here in Philadelphia. The cheapest ticket in the house was like $750. What a coup for them. And also, it must be said, Mike, the guy is, you watch soccer now. There is no one in the world like Lionel Messi. He is perhaps the greatest player in the history of the only game that is played on every nation on earth. That's something, Mike. It's my soccer for the day. Anything to add?
I like how you said you were triggered. I mean, some of the highlights, he does look like a man amongst boys, and people have asked me this, and I am a soccer fan to a certain level, not as much as you. You know, is it basically like a MLB superstar, let's say Ohtani, playing against double A players? Is that an apt comparison?
I would say partially, but also he did this when he played like in the highest levels in Europe. He is the only way to describe it. Like, there's, you know, I think generally speaking, most people would agree the greatest three players in the history of soccer are Pele, Maradona, and Messi. And in the current era, you would say the only one that approaches him is Cristiano Ronaldo. The difference between them and Messi is that I can't think of someone in like another American sport where it's like there's one guy who's capable of doing things that literally no one else in the world's capable of doing. If you had seen him, Mike, in his prime at Barcelona, your mind would explode because it's like, how did he do that? No one else can do that. It's like seeing Jordan or Muhammad Ali. It's just a different level. But I'm rambling now. But if you get a chance to,
yeah, you are. But I just add that Ohtani would be in that same level. Because when you said doing things that no one else in the world can do, quite literally, that's what Ohtani has been doing.
Indeed. Mike, I have to ask you, speaking of one-offs and interesting people who can't do or can do things that no one else can do, I am so intrigued by Deion Sanders at Colorado. And part of me thinks like this will either be a spectacular failure or, because of the era we live in college football, and because of Deion's, let's face it, he's a charismatic guy. He is a perfect fit for a program in the NIL era. He will recruit, and he already has, spectacularly. I don't know a thing about his coaching philosophy, how he wants to run the offense, who's coaching with him. I honestly don't know. But my gut says, well, at the very least, he's already made Colorado more relevant than Colorado's been since like the Bill McCartney era, correct?
Yeah.
I think he could do well there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a showman. That's the one word that pops up into my head when you talk about Deion. He attracts eyeballs. That's the number one thing that Colorado needed. I think they only have a dozen players coming back on their roster who were there a year ago, which you know, opens up some questions, but no one's going to care about that if they win. You asked about who's coaching with him. I believe the offensive coordinator is the former head coach at Kent State, who had an incredible offense at Kent State the last couple of years. And he went there. Sean Lewis, I believe. So that's going to be very interesting. And of course, his quarterback is his son. They open up against TCU and they're big underdogs, but what can you think of a more intriguing week one matchup? You have no idea what you're going to get from either school. And it could be a spectacular blowout for Colorado, or they could get blown out. I mean, a lot of eyeballs are going to be on that game.
I'm guessing in the short term, they're going to be terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
In the long term, I mean, their roster turnover was like nothing we've ever seen in college football. Like, you can't have that kind of turnover and like have a cohesive team. It's just not going to happen. I think him having his son there, I don't know how good the kid is or not, but like, that's problematic to me. But yeah, in the long term, if he sticks it out, I think it could be, it is a net positive for Colorado because they were so in the wilderness. Like, who cared about Colorado football before this? So we'll see.
Yeah, but also, how long is he going to be in it for the long term? I mean, if the NFL comes calling, I can't see him passing up that. He likes the spotlight. He wants to be in. He wants the biggest spotlight possible.
Like him at the Cowboys, you think?
It could be anyone.
Finally, Mike, you mentioned this to me. I have no background here. What's up with college football games and movie theaters?
So there was just a huge deal announced where ESPN will be showing 75 games, I believe it is, in movie theaters over the course of the season, including all the New York Six bowl games and the college football playoff games will be shown in movie theaters. I don't have any other details, and I don't even have an opinion as to whether this would be cool or not. I just think it's fascinating. I mean, a couple of questions that I've seen raised. You go to a movie theater, you get your popcorn, you get your soda. Can you drink beer? Most movie theaters nowadays, you can drink, but I don't know what the deal with that will be. Two, is everybody going to be cheering and loud? I assume they will be. And three, are you going to sit on your ass through commercials through a 4-hour game at a movie theater? That doesn't sound very fun. A lot of it doesn't sound fun, but at the same time, you know, if you are a fan of, let's say, Arkansas, and you're living, I don't know, let's say in Idaho, you can go to that. You can go to the movie theater and watch your team's game on a huge screen and maybe be around a few other Arkansas fans. I don't know. It's just an interesting development. What do you think? I mean, what's your gut feeling? I mean, would you ever go to a movie theater and watch a college football game?
Answer is no. I don't generally like going to a theater to see a movie because I'm so annoyed by people around me, like, in their annoying habits. Like, the people who spend their whole movie just like stuffing their face and I have to hear them crunching their popcorn the whole time drives me crazy, slurping their sodas. It's like so gross, right? Like, have a meal before the movie and then after the movie, but don't like to eat the whole time. It drives me crazy.
This is a great cue for an old man rant.
People are just like generally annoying anyway. Like, there are people like look like on the plane, like take their shoes off. It's like, what are you doing? Right?
That's ridiculous.
If I want to watch a big game of college football, I want to watch with people of my choosing. Okay.
Correct.
So I think it'd be fun if it's like you were like part of the Indiana alumni club of Seattle. It's like, okay, we're going to rent a movie theater for the IU-Purdue game this year. Let's all get together. That'd be fun. But just a bunch of randos together, like, no way in hell. Like, no.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. But then again, I have a feeling this is marketed toward people below our age demographic who actually don't hate, you know, mingling with people as much as you do. I don't know. It's something I never considered. And I didn't. I don't see that there is a great demand for it, but maybe they'll create the demand.
See, I think you're wrong, Mike. I think like younger people like are like less mingly than we are now. Like, they're just like stuck on their phone the entire time, right? They're not into groups.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, think about everyone's phone will be 100% of the people in that theater will be also looking at their phone while they watch. You won't even be able to see the screen because of the brightness of the phones.
1,000%. So anyway, all right, moving on to the games of the week. So Mike, again, we're talking about 5 games worth of days of games here. So like, I had to whittle this down and it's still an extensive list. So we'll go through this first. I got to say, not a bad way to start the season. On Thursday night, 8 p.m., Florida at number 14, Utah, Thursday ESPN. First of all, I got to say, I'm always a big fan of clash of culture type games. The idea of Florida Gator fans flying to Salt Lake City for this game brings me such joy. Mike, what are your thoughts?
It's awesome. And so the kickoff at Rice-Eccles Stadium, 6 p.m. Tim, how beautiful will it be with this sun, when the sun starts to set over those mountains that are in the backdrop of that stadium? That stadium is going to be hyped up. That's good. That's a tough place to play. Every seat will be will be occupied. The crowd will be very, very loud. Like I said, the question is Cam Rising, will he play? And if he plays, how effective he'll be. The line has been all over the place. It's been anywhere from Utah minus 8.5 down to 3.5 because of Rising. But that's going to be such a – I think that's it's a beautiful and a perfect place to kick off the real season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea of folks being in Utah for this game is going to be really, really interesting. I think Florida fans will be taken aback by the fact they can't tailgate, Mike.
Hey, well, they can tailgate in one specific lot and one lot only.
Will they go visit the Great Salt Lake when they're there?
If they do, they will be very, very shocked by how the lack of water in it.
It must have shrunken like by a lot more since we were there, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, we were there, what, almost a year ago, right? I guess 10 months ago. We know it's not getting deeper.
How about Nebraska at Minnesota, 8 p.m. Thursday on Fox? I kind of love this one, too. For Nebraska, Matt Rhule in charge now. A chance to make a first impression. Minnesota every year, it's like, what do you expect from Minnesota? I have no idea. But this is a great Big Ten opener for Fox.
And credit to the Big Ten, a number of teams are starting with conference games this year, which I like. Yeah, Minnesota favored by around 7 points. That's another cool kind of on-campus stadium. I think it's about 50,000. It should be a nice atmosphere there. I bet there'll be a lot of Nebraska fans, and they'll be very, very eager. By the way, Nebraska, do you see that they have sold over 90,000 tickets to watch their volleyball team play at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln? It is awesome. They're putting a volleyball court in the middle of the football field. I have no idea how you'd be able to see that from anywhere. That stadium is massive, and they're trying to break the record for the most attended female sporting event in the United States and the world. The one in the U.S. was the Women's World Cup final at the Rose Bowl. That was 91,000 something.
Yep.
And then there was a women's premier Champions League match that I think had 95,000. But that is awesome. Over nine. Can you imagine you're a volleyball player at Nebraska and you're playing in front of 90,000 people?
I mean, in Nebraska, anything's possible, Mike.
That should be on their license plates. In Nebraska, yeah, anything is possible.
I think in their motto, like, there's no place like Nebraska. I love that. That's like, A, it's an awesome slogan, but also, there is also, no place like Nebraska.
It is true. There is definitely not.
There's also no place like Maryland. There's no place like Pennsylvania. There's no place like Ohio. Like, it's very Nebraska to be just have a true statement as your state motto. Right?
Yeah, with no pizzazz.
There's no one like Mike Unger. Central Michigan at Michigan State, 7 p.m. Friday on FS1. Just a fun in-state rivalry. I can't imagine Central is that far from Michigan State. It's probably like an hour away, I think. Like, they're not Ypsilanti. Where are they? They are, oh, all those Michigan cities I'm blanking on where Central's at, Mike.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know where they're in Central. they're in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Hmm.
It's a public research university in Michigan that offers degree programs in Mount Pleasant, established in 1892. Michigan State, 15-point favorites in this game. Just no idea what you're going to get from Sparty. You know, Mel Tucker took over, and he had the big first season, got the huge extension, then kind of fell on his face. And you thought maybe it was a different era for Michigan State. No, it's not. You still have absolutely no idea what you're going to get from Sparty week to week or season to season.
How about Miami of Ohio at Miami of Florida, 7 p.m. ACC Network. I think I heard on the radio on our beloved Sirius XM College, a player from Miami, Ohio, saying that they were the real Miami, Mike.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of Miami talk. Miami of Ohio, of course, the university was founded before Miami of Florida. The Hurricanes, 17.5-point favorites in what is a very important season for Mario Cristobal down there. They were just awful last year in his first season. He got a little bit of a pass, you know, that their one booster who paid all the players. I think his company is under federal investigation now. So big, which is on brand for the U. But a fun battle to see who for Miami supremacy.
Louisville at Georgia Tech, 7:30 ESPN. Fun game here in a weird way. What do we make? These are two programs that I put on the like same level as like. Not that Iowa's better than them, right? I would say like.
Iowa's definitely better than them. These are more along the lines of your Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. Minnesota's a good measurement there. Any thoughts on Louisville at Georgia Tech, Mike?
I really don't have any thoughts on Louisville at Georgia Tech. Louisville is favored by 8. Seems like a bit high to me. Brent P is in his second year. He did some nice things there at Tech last year. So we shall see. But nah, not any thoughts on this game.
How about Virginia at number 12, Tennessee? We're back on Saturday now. Virginia at Tennessee. Noon ABC. Again, I do think it's a big year for Tennessee. They're either going to leap forward or just kind of stay in stasis, Mike.
Yeah, huge year for Tennessee. They need to build on the momentum that they had last year. Joe Milton is their quarterback, Michigan transfer. They're 4 touchdown favorites against Virginia, which has just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. They had a couple good years, it seems like 4 or 5 years ago with Brennan Armstrong, who's now at NC State, I believe. But 4 touchdown favorites for Tennessee. They should take care of the Wahoos pretty easily. And by the way, also this summer, I spent some time in Charlottesville. What a lovely, gorgeous campus. I mean, walking around the historical part of that campus that was laid out by Thomas Jefferson, and the buildings were still, you know, we're talking buildings that are hundreds of years old. Gorgeous, gorgeous campus in Charlottesville.
How about Utah State? We saw last year, Mike, in person at number 25, Iowa, noon, FS1. I'll say this, I'm not going to claim to know a bunch about Utah State. I was impressed by their fervency for their team.
Yeah, their fans were great. They traveled to that BYU game, and they were fired up for it.
We know Iowa's strengths and weaknesses, right? They've been the same since Ferentz has started there. Iowa, again, like, this is AP ranking number 25, so it's kind of like a courtesy ranking for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pressure on Brian Ferentz this year. A noon kick for a Big Ten team is kind of a curse, right? If things don't start well for Iowa, that's will get grumpy really quick.
Can you imagine if they get the ball first in a 3-and-out?
Which is, like, I'll say 70% possible.
Right? And you'll see. You'll see some old timers, you know, grabbing their little seat cushions and heading for the exits. So I was favored by 25 points in this game. I know nothing about Utah State, but give me Utah State plus the 25. That's a staggeringly high number for an offense that couldn't score against anyone last year. And as you, to your point, noon start, 25 points, I'll take the Aggies.
I mean, to me, it's an insulting number to Utah State. It's insulting. How about this one? Like, I had to add it to my faves. Akron at Temple, 2 p.m. ESPN Plus. I'm like, oh, I should take Joey down to see the Temple game, but it's not going to happen. Any thoughts?
Why not?
Huh? Well,
Why not?
I'll miss other games then.
That's a good point. That's a good point, yeah. The Zips, yeah, Temple, 10.5 point favorites over the Zips. Let me know if you go, and let me know what Akron looks like, because the Hoosiers have them later this season.
Speaking of the Hoosiers, Ohio State at Indiana, 3:30 p.m. on CBS. Mike, congrats for your Hoosiers opening against Ohio State. What a great start to the season.
How did our athletic director let this happen? To open, I mean, I guess the only saving grace is, you know, it's at Indiana and it'll be a sellout because it'll be 75% Ohio State fans. But they're favored by 30. You know, lots of questions, to say the least, for Indiana on both sides of the ball, not to mention on special teams. Ohio State, they're so stacked on offense. As usual, the question is the quarterback and the defense. They have, of course, playmakers on defense, but, you know, can they stop people from running the ball? So it's going to be – it'll be interesting to see how long – if/how long Indiana can keep this close, but – boy, the problem here is Tom Allen. If you go out and you get beat 49-0 or something like that, which is a real possibility, is your confidence just shattered for the entire rest of the season?
I agree. For young guys in the team, like, how do you recover from that? I mean, Ohio State's just, they're so loaded.
Yeah, they're a juggernaut. And I mean, if they come into Bloomington and crush you 49-0 in October, you're all right, bad game. You know, we won a couple earlier, put it behind us, but it's a tough bounce back emotionally in week one.
Boise at number 12, Washington, 330 ABC. Again, I don't know much about Boise, but this is a kind of a fun week one matchup too, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the USC San Jose State game, because Boise is a solid program every year, and Washington, a lot of expectations for them with Michael Penix Jr., of course, Heisman candidate, former Hoosier. So I'm going to be watching Washington very closely this year.
Real quickly, Mike, because these two schools are near and dear to your heart, how about Towson at Maryland at 3:30 on the BTN?
New Towson coach Pete Shinnick debuts for the Tigers against the Terps. Maryland coach Mike Loxley, a Towson alum. So a lot of ties in this game. Pete Shinnick is the new football coach at Towson. He's a very interesting and very nice guy, I have to say. His father played football for the Baltimore Colts. His dad was a great friend of Johnny Unitas, and now he works and coaches in Johnny Unitas Stadium. So a nice bit of symmetry there. Hoping for good things from Towson this year. And Maryland had very high expectations this season for Maryland. Their win total in Vegas is over under 7.5. So Vegas is expecting to maybe get 8 wins again. They, of course, have Talia Tagovailoa back. They have a great offense by all accounts. So it'll be a really interesting season for Maryland. It's a fun opener for both teams.
West Virginia at number 7, Penn State, 7:30 p.m. on NBC. I guess one of the biggest games of the night on a not-so-great lineup. It's going to be a great scene in State College. I talked to Jack yesterday. It's going to be a huge party weekend. The confluence of fans and West Virginia fans will be very, very interesting. It's a lot of history here. I think for Neil Brown, he's kind of like, obviously this season's kind of his last chance to make a statement here. So, look, as a Penn State fan, I look at the defense and I'm like, we got NFL talent at all three levels, without question. Got a first-round draft pick in Chop Robinson at DE, a first-round draft pick with Abdul Cardi at linebacker, a first-round draft pick with Kalen King at corner. We have two-star running backs. We have the number one O-lineman in the country in Olu Fashanu. We have a question at quarterback, and we have no proven number one receiver. And I think, unfortunately for Penn State, they have two more question marks than Michigan or Ohio State, who have almost none. So unless someone steps up, like they're a top 10 team without question, and they'll finish likely third in their own division. That's the reality.
That's been the story of Penn State for pretty much every year they've been in the Big Ten, right? I mean, just getting over that, there'd be no one who'd be more excited for the demise of divisions than Penn State. Now, we don't know what kind of format the Big Ten is going to now that they added the two more teams. So we could be having divisions again next year. But I think suffice to say, Penn State going to have a hard time getting over the Ohio State, Michigan mountaintop, which everybody in the country seems to have. But interesting game here. Penn State is favored by 20.5 and 57% of the action coming in on West Virginia. West Virginia has, from what I've read, a very good offensive line and running game. So we'll see if they can throw the ball and be more than one dimensional. You're right. The scene is going to be awesome. A 7:30 kickoff on Saturday. There are going to be a lot of West Virginia fans there, but that's going to be a great scene up there in Happy Valley.
Number 21, UNC at South Carolina the same night, 7:30 ABC. Game day is going to be there. Kind of a weird choice for game day, but they didn't have a lot of choices, I guess, Mike.
They didn't, but especially because, I mean, why aren't they in State College? Because the game is on NBC, right? That's the reason they're not there. Instead, they're going to a neutral site in Charlotte for North Carolina and South Carolina. That's weak, and that speaks to really with the demise of College game day. You know, Fox's show has been getting better every year, And we'll wait to see what NBC is going to do. They're going to have their own pregame show, probably live on site from whatever their Saturday night game is. Theirs, I think, is not going to be in the morning, though. It's going to be in the evening. And by the way, Tim, have you heard who is singing the new Welcome, We're Coming to Your City theme song for College Game Day?
All right. So last week I did watch. So it was, they played I'll Take You There by what's her name?
The Staple Singers. Which is an outstanding, awesome song.
I love that song, but that's not the song?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
No. That was just a one-off for the studio version that they ran last week. Apparently, Hootie is going to be singing the new version of that intro song to mark the 30th anniversary of College Game Day. So we shall see. You know, I can't stomach Pat McAfee on that show. I can't stomach all the fake laughter. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a Fox guy this year, and I'll give NBC a chance too. I'm all in on the Fox show. I'm determined. I will give Game Day a chance in week one, of course, but I'm definitely going to be a Fox guy, I think. Ooh, boy, I never thought I'd hear myself say that in any context, but I'm determined to give Fox a chance, and I'll check out NBC show as well, but I just can't stomach McAfee and the fake laughter in College Game Day.
And like my issue was like, it's not like, I know everything these days has turned into politics. It's so annoying. My issue with the Big and Rich song is not about their politics. It's just a shitty song.
Well, we'll see if Hootie can do a better job with it.
Is he covering the same song though?
I believe. Ugh. I believe he's going to be singing that.
Can't we just have a band play or something?
I think that's what I read. We'll have to wait and see on Saturday. I'll be recording it, but I think that's what it's going to be.
I mean, I've posted like when they announced Big and Rich that they were like, you know, passing the baton or whatever, like after 16 years, I had to reply on Twitter/X. It's like, all right, 16 years overdue. It's a terrible song. Like so cheap.
Your opinion on that is very clear.
Number 5, LSU. Number 8, Florida State. 7:30 p.m. ABC. This is on Sunday, right, Mike?
Yeah, Sunday night. Rematch of last year's game. I'll have a little more to say about this in our Lock of the Week segment.
Lastly, number 9, Clemson at Duke. 8 p.m. ESPN on Monday. What a raw deal for Clemson fans in the Monday night game, huh?
Oh, the Monday night of a holiday weekend. I just hate that placement. Duke getting 12.5 points. Interesting that the game is, you know, in Durham on campus. I have no idea what, you know, I assume it's going to be 70-80% Clemson fans, right?
Yep.
A lot of questions around this Clemson program this year with the new offensive. I mean, they're hoping that the new offensive coordinator, Garrett Riley, can work some of his magic. They have way more talent than Duke, of course, but a lot of people saying, you know, very high on Mike Elko and that Duke program with Riley Leonard at quarterback. I don't think Duke has a chance to win this game, but it could be entertaining into maybe the third quarter, something like that.
All right, Mike, locks of the week. Let's go.
Tim, for our lock of the week, we are going to a neutral site. I hate that, for LSU Florida State. Now, Florida State seems to be the dandy, the darling of the pundits here in the offseason. Jordan Travis and Mike Novell's the quarterback and Mike Novell's program. He's got some wideouts. They improved a lot last year, and they actually beat LSU last year in this very game. Now, that was kind of a quirky game. LSU made some special teams errors, and LSU obviously got a lot better during the course of the season under Brian Kelly. I just think Brian Kelly is an outstanding quarterback, coach, pardon me. I think LSU has more talent top to bottom than Florida State. And with LSU only given 2.5, I'm taking the Tigers minus the 2.5.
I'll take Utah State, Mike.
I knew it. Utah State, great pick, plus 25. And just to update the listeners, last year was my first year under 500 in quite some time on the Locks of the Week. I was 6-8, Tim. You were 7-7. Lifetime since 2019 on these picks, I am 31-27, 4 games over 500. And you are 25-32, 7 games under 500. But let's get it. Let's get them both be over 500 at the end of this year.
All right, Mike. I have to run to soccer soon. So, what are your plans this weekend?
Well, your plans never change. through the 10 to 12 years of this podcast, you're always at running off to soccer. I will be in Phoenix, Arizona for the Orioles Diamondbacks series. This is my annual Orioles road trip. Baltimore, of course, 34 games over 500, on pace to threaten to win 100 games and have the best. They have the best record in the American League right now. Going to be fascinating. Temperatures will be over 100 degrees. We're playing golf at TPC Scottsdale in the morning. We're going to, and then Saturday, I'm not sure what our plans are. We're kind of up in the air. We may go down to Tucson, and Arizona actually is kicking off their season down there in Tucson. I've spent very, very little time in Arizona. I've camped at the Grand Canyon for 3 days, which was a magnificent 1 day in Phoenix and 1 day, actually 2 days in Tucson, including my 22nd birthday. That's was a bit of a blur. So I'm interested to see a completely different part of the country. Can't wait to check another ballpark off my list. I'll be down to, I believe, 7 left after I hit Chase Field. And so we'll see how much college football I can watch in the interim. I know for a fact that I'm going to be having some cocktails and watching Florida, Utah on the plane on Thursday night. So I'm looking forward to that.
I've got nothing this weekend except for just relaxing and watching college football. So it'll be a great weekend.
That's glorious.
It's glorious indeed. And Mike, there's one thing to say.
Well, let's just let the listeners know, of course, that we're going to be doing this monthly. So we'll be back with a show that will post before October, the October games, and then we'll look back at the first month of September. But thanks for listening, everyone. But Josh.
Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast. For more college football news and wit, visit intelligentcollegefootball.com.